You are magnificent in your exuberant world. Your path is free. Your touch thrills into flowers. Your trailing skirt sweeps the whirl of a dance amongst the stars. And your music is echoed from worlds I never knew. Single and alone in this stillness, Lady of Silence, you are a vision to behold, a lonely blossom on the stem of love.
For taking the time to be here today. We're connecting to self-love and quieting the mind. This is an aspect of self that can create a lot of turbulence, not only in our right and left hemisphere, but it can also cause a lot of turbulence in your everyday life, your body, your spirit, your heart, and alter how you perceive reality. So today we're going to dive in to the core of our essence, and this beautiful thing happens when we take time to be silent. We start to listen to the soul. We start to be true to who we are, and it takes great courage to do that. In last week's segment, we talked about courage, and that one great way to cultivate that is silence. So we're going to look at the mind and what this mind has to offer us and how we can assist in quieting it, and look at some modalities to do that, and also look at the outcome of a quiet mind. And I think you might be inspired to try out a little silence and start to shift your thoughts into more productive focus of your time and energy. So what we're going to do in the essence of being still is we're going to actually dive into one of the first and most simplest ways to learn how to start quieting the mind, and that's actually to introduce mantra. A lot of people will, in this epoch on planet Earth, will potentially use words, affirmations, different things like that. That's fine. You can do that. I thought we'd bring it back to some of the roots. If you look at Vedic, pre-Vedic, and different Buddhist traditions, mantras are used, and they're used for different reasons. They're one used to actually invoke an energy within yourself, and that is something that's actually done not just for self, but for others, that those who are in those practices in most sets and settings are invoking that mantra for the benefit of all beings. So there are places on this planet that where people are doing this. They're praying, they're meditating, they're in traditional indigenous ceremonies for the benefit of all beings on planet Earth and in the universe. What's so powerful about this is that if you can imagine if everyone's holding a certain vibration, a tonal sound, and that's what the mantras are, they're sounds, they're resonances that enable that energy to flow. And quantum physics and science can show us that this is to be true. As soon as we put our attention on something, we can have a perception of it, and we can also change the perception of what is or is not based on what we believe to be true. So the mantra, as it comes in, does one beautiful thing, is it quiets the mind, because you're all of a sudden directed towards the resonance, towards the sound, and you forget the thought that's coming in. So this is a way I really recommend for people when they're going into their gerbil wheel and the mind is spinning, that they can bring in mantra. Yes, you could use a word like love, but if you're in a heartache about love and you're in a situation where you're really confused, love may not be the best word to use. Peace could be a really great word, but do you know what peace is? So it's really important to select something that you have felt so deep in your being, no matter what language that word is in or sound that is, that you know it to be a still point for you, or something that you're so dedicated to cultivating that you feel the resonance. So for instance, we're going to use the mantra Om Mane Padme Hum. Now there have been many monks time and time again chanting this mantra, and nuns too, men, women, children, that the resonance is repeated over and over to cultivate love and compassion. So this is one I recommend a lot of times, even for people I work with one-on-one, even if they're not, their theological background is something different. Again, it takes you into these tonal frequencies that allows you to cultivate this compassion, this love, and brings you back to the heart resonance. So you can repeat this over and over, Om Mane Padme Hum, Om Mane Padme Hum, and bring your attention to the heart and emptying the mind, stopping the chatter, especially if you're thinking something destructive towards self or others. And once we start to free up the space, you'll start to notice sooner when you're going into those negative spins that you have the opportunity to use this mind for other things. And that is much more helpful than telling yourself a bunch of stories or thinking things that are not productive. So as we go into this segment, just take this time to be with self and see what rises up as you follow the mantra and where it takes you. Don't be worried about that. Just let it flow. And then from there, we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about the use of our right and left hemisphere and how it can be more productive when it's quiet.
Chingi chere simu chengi cheresi mo papa cheresi mo omani pe me hu omani pe me
So there was a little moment to just sit and be still with self and to experience what mantra can feel like. Now in that instance, we had a musical bed and some different things going on to assist in the process. And you can do this to start out with, finding many, many options. And there will be some links below to this music that we're using today to allow yourself to experience what that means, the mantra. Now, if you have a different theological belief system, you can always use anything from that in the form of prayer and or chants if you're in a tribal situation. Any of those tonal frequencies, just repeating over and over, what they do is they bring you into a different state of being and they take you out of that thought process, which can be very detrimental to your entire ecosystem. So as I mentioned as we were going in, the mind, when it's quiet, we have all these benefits that happen. So think about how many times in your life you've gotten really spun out on something going on in your mind. You've created a story, you've made an assumption, you've made a judgment. You might do it to people that you don't even know that are walking around on the street or someone at work. So when this mind gets quiet, we stop the storytelling, we stop spinning about our own emotional issues that we haven't dealt with, and stop projecting them on to other people. And then what happens, there's a couple things the benefits are. One, your stress and anxiety level reduces. This impacts your physical, mental, and emotional wellness. And what happens there is that increases. So the quieter the mind is, it's kind of like an engine or your computer, your hard drive. If the less programs that are open, the better it works. The faster it'll process something and it won't wear down as quickly. So computers that are run intensely wear down a lot faster than ones that are used a little bit more mindfully. So this is a great little exercise you can do. You could check your computer right now. How many programs do you have open? How many applications do you have open? How many communication networks do you have open? Over time, you are going to exhaust your energy field because you're sending it out in all these different directions. You're not only going to exhaust the mechanical device that you're using, you're going to actually exhaust your own physical device, meaning your own physical body, and then that just permeates throughout everything that happens. So this aspect of quieting the mind means that you're going to bring one point focus to most everything that you do the best you can. You're going to empty the mind so it stays clear. And then you have so much more space to do things like critical thinking. Discernment increases, knowing where you're supposed to be at a certain time, and having the ability to move from one place to the next without relying on external things like devices to tell you how to get there. Your senses will increase, and your self-reliance and empowerment will increase when that mind is quiet, believe it or not. And you will actually be showing the people around you a lot more respect because you will be paying attention to what's going on. So imagine in this day and age, so many people put their head down when they're out. They'll, because they crave human connectivity, but they're not comfortable just being out. So they'll take their computers and go work maybe in the coffee shop, which is great. At least people are getting out. But they're still not paying attention to their surroundings, or they're on their phones and they're not paying attention to their surroundings. And there's all these things happening. Unfortunately, right now, majority of people are consumed with their devices and their screens, and this prevents them from actually engaging in the reality around them. In addition, it occupies your mind with a bunch of data that wasn't necessarily meant to meet either the right or left hemisphere. So if you're scrolling through social media, if you're scrolling through all this different information that really wasn't intended for you, but it's being put out there, and maybe you want to see it, maybe you don't. So think about how you can reduce the amount of information coming in the mind, and then how you can reduce the amount of grasping. So a perfect example with our social media the way it is today, you might go in and be informed about something that you didn't want to know about, and then all of a sudden you're an emotional tailspin all day long about that. Now imagine if you don't see the person maybe that you saw something about and upset you, you would be oblivious to it until it was brought to your physical reality by them. And maybe that's when you were to intersect with it and not waste all that time creating stories about something you don't know. The social media is a great place to invoke envy. It's a great place to perpetuate narcissism, all these different things that pull us away from what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be showing up for our fellow human species. So the second place to benefit from quieting the mind is you're going to be spending a lot less time on certain things, because you'll realize that it actually adds more chatter to your mind. A way to check in with this is, aside from checking about how many things you have open on your phone and or computer, is to think about when you go to work, or if you're with your children, if you're not working, or if you're retired and just hanging out, how many things are you thinking about during a day? What is keeping you from fully focusing? Imagine you're going in for surgery and you find out your surgeon has so many different things on their mind, they're not really paying attention, or they're paying attention sort of so they can do a good job, but they could be doing a lot better job if their mind was empty. This is of great value to everyone involved in every moment, whether you're a surgeon, whether you're making someone food in a restaurant that people are going to eat and put in their belly, whether you're pushing the broom and cleaning the airport terminal. If you have a clear mind when you're pushing that broom, a lot more beneficial than if your mind is full of negativity or you're upset about something. You're just going to be pushing that along the walkway and everyone gets to walk through that. So this is a beautiful way to serve humanity by clearing the mind. So the first practice that I just gave you was the mantra. Mantra is a beautiful way to say, all right, I'm thinking, I don't want to be thinking this, so I'm going to chant mantra. And I use this all the time, one for my practice within the teachings I work with, but also when I find my mind all of a sudden getting connected to some, I call it turbulence, mental turbulence, and it might be coming from exterior source or interior source, meaning me. And that mantra coming in is a beautiful way. Another way to quiet the mind is, and these are more on the yang way, the mantra, you're in action, is to actually physically get moving. When you go out for some activity where you get a run, release energy by pulling yourself into, let's say, an organized sport with someone, you're going to have to get focused on that sport, and then you're really present with that. By going for a run or a swim, or even going into a flow yoga class, or maybe those that are into CrossFit or any of those other things that are popular right now, once you fully immerse in that, you will find something beautiful that happens in that physical activity as your mind empties and it's gone. When I used to run marathons, I know it took me quite a while sometimes after work to get my mind empty. Sometimes it took 5 miles, sometimes it took 8 miles. Good thing I was a distance runner. But once that mind was empty, I was in a sweet spot. And what happens when you're in that sweet spot is your body's running perfectly, because when the mind's turbulent, the body's feeling it too. So your mind's going, and then your body's saying, oh, this hurts, that hurts. But as soon as everything's empty, you just glide like an eagle. So two practices: one, the mantra; number two, do some physical exercise that takes you. You could even do walking. It's a beautiful practice to engage in to clear the mind. And if you go walking or running or cycling or any of these things that where you're in motion with friends, see if you can be a little bit more quiet. Don't engage the mind in more stories. See if you can just take some silent time to really be with yourself. What we're going to do right now is we're going to give ourselves another opportunity to be silent. We are going to listen to a little Carlos Nakai. His beautiful albums that are a compilation of a little bit of the East and the West, a Native American approach influence with some Eastern. So this one's Prayer for a New Millennium. As I mentioned, a lot of the mantras and the practices that in Buddhist teachings are for the benefit of all beings. In addition, a lot of the Native practices, I think all, are for the benefit of all beings. So people are praying for not just themselves, but everyone. They're welcoming in. Think how nice it is if every day we got up and said, may all beings be happiness. We put aside what we think we know. We put aside our grievances. We stop thinking that we have to harm one another and say, may all beings be happy. And the more we become in this resonance and staying in that resonance, you might be surprised as to what happens and what becomes important. So as you listen to this segment, what I'd love you to do, a beautiful aid to quieting the mind, is the breath and that breath work, breathing in and out. So as you listen to this compilation, just take the breath. Clear heart and clear mind will take us where we need to go. Is breathe in from the heart, breathe into the mind, and then back into the heart. Bring it around, out and around, out and around, out and around. And as you do that, just see where you sail to. And don't worry if the chatter comes in, just let it come in one ear and out the other. Take a deep breath in, and then exhale out gently from the mouth.
Thank you.
taking a deep breath in and out and connecting back to here. And as you do so, just sitting and being for a moment and just connecting to what you might have felt in that moment of just taking a little bit of time to breathe. This is what starts to clear our minds. So imagine every single day we're running, and we don't have time to do certain things like sit and be quiet with ourselves or go and exercise or do these things to assist in quieting the mind. And what happens then is all that chatter goes out into that physical temple, the emotional temple. It starts projecting out into the world because more than not, we're internalizing a lot of those conversations and we're not having courage to speak up and communicate what's going on in our mind's eye. So you can take the time, if you so to choose, just to gently breathe in and out in a moment, and that little bit will help quiet that mind. And over time, you'll realize really obtusely, like a big elephant in a room, that you're having a thought, where right now it might be that there are more thoughts than there is space. So as I mentioned, you can use mantra, you can use breath, you can use exercise to redirect this energy and minimize the amount of potential karma you're creating, cause and effect by those thoughts. It's very interesting. There was just an article, and I will try to find it again and post it as a resource below, about how they have science to document that in dreaming there's telepathic communication. And it makes me chuckle a little bit because, yes, there's plenty of scientific proof that we have telepathic capabilities. Whales have sonar capabilities, so do humans, so do dolphins, so do most all animals. They have this receptor that allows them to communicate in a vibrational state, not even necessarily in words. So it doesn't just happen in the dreaming, but oftentimes we get out of the way of ourselves so we can hear those messages a little bit easier. When the mind is clearer, we have more room to receive those messages. And then we realize, the more that we empty that mind, how detrimental those thoughts are. And not only to ourselves, but others. And this is the most profound thing that I found in my own practice. The deeper I go within that quiet mind, that clear mind, is then what happens is all the people that I work with one-on-one, my family, my friends, I start to hear what's going on in their life. I feel it. I sense it. It comes in my dreams. If someone's not thinking something nice about them, I get that message. If someone's typing me an email, I can hear that. And that's not for any other reason than I've quieted this unnecessary activity of chatter in my mind. And now it lets me be alerted to different things. And this is how it was, especially in nomadic times. The senses were so great that they were feeling where things were far away. And this is how animals do it. They can feel maybe where their prey is. They can feel where a shelter is because they're attuned. They're not spending the time thinking about, wow, can you believe Bob did that? Or did you see what she was wearing? There's not any of that chatter. It's focused on what needs to happen. And this is why in yogic teachings and Buddhist teachings that the practice is to clear the mind and clear the heart, because that ends the suffering. So this wheel, this emotional wheel that we create, creates unnecessary reactions and misperceptions. Every time we're showing up in a situation, everyone's bringing something to the table, and this is what I mentioned in last time's segment. And so when our mind's clear, we're not going to react. We're going to be still. So some of those Jedi monks, they don't react. They stay very, very still when something's happening, and they just glide through it. The same happens with an EMT. They're addressing an emergency situation. They're staying still. The benefit of this is that you're not in this very explosive reactionary state. And what happens when we're in that explosive reactionary state, or really big highs and lows, is one, just simple one, our adrenal system's taking this big jump and then dropping back down, and we're reaching exhaustion. So when we're in this overstimulated experience with our emotional body and our mental body, that starts to wear out the physical body. So another reason why you might be inspired to quiet that mind. So yin activities, I mentioned the mantra practice. That's a simple way for you to clear the mind, especially if you're having chatter or you're trying to break a habit that you repeat and you no longer want it to be there because it actually occupies a lot of energy in your mind. Physical movement is a beautiful practice to clear the mind, calm down, release the tensions, and this will also help eliminate that emotional reactivity, and you'll be able to approach situations with more critical thinking, discernment, problem-solving skills. You'll be more balanced in the right and left hemisphere. So silence, that just plain old silence, without mantra, without any music, without anything going on in the house or outside, you'll hear nature sounds, but without anything else, you will have this beautiful way to connect, clearing the mind. At first, you will start to hear how much you think, and some days it's more turbulent than others, and don't disregard when you've been silent that, my mind was going. Don't get discouraged, because that's good. It's filtering out. And this yin practice is best to happen at the beginning and the end of the day if you can do it, or if you're super busy during the day and you're feeling a little run down, feel like you're having a lot of reactionary emotions, rather than blaming it on other people, take responsibility for self and sit down. Take five. Take a walk around the block if you feel like you need movement, or go outside, sit under a tree, and just be. Just be. That is a beautiful receptive way to start listening. What I see more than not, especially when I'm working with people one-on-one, is they want to know. They want to know the future. They're grasping forward. They're grasping, 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 and they can't rest in themselves. If you can sit and just be in that and listen and really listen, and you're going to listen from your heart, you're going to listen from your solar plexus, there's a really powerful guttural response here, then listening from the mind's eye and saying, wow, what's going on here? What do I need to take responsibility for? Do I need to walk away from this situation? Do I need to take some things out of my schedule? Do I need to find another job? Do I need to end this relationship? Do I need to start a new relationship? What's going on? You just keep asking yourself the questions until there's nothing else to ask, and then you're just still. And then you sit in that stillness, and then guess what? All of a sudden, you'll have the aha within that stillness. So by clearing the clutter out of the mind, asking the questions, and keep asking the questions until the mind settles down, say, that's what it is. I'm just overworked. I haven't slept in 3 days. I need to eat. That's what it is. I'm reacting to Susie's anxiety, and it's not even about me, and I'm going into my old patterns. I can let that be. I'm going to actually pray for Susie that she finds some ease in her life, and I'm not going to be a part of this cycle. So this is the other aspect of what happens, is we're doing this dance, and I always equate it to going around a racetrack, and you keep going around that track and participating in the same dances until you're ready to step off that track and no longer participate. This is what our mind does. It keeps revolving around and around, and the universe is this really patient energy. It'll let you just keep going. There's nothing but space. And you keep going, and you're not limited just to this one physical existence. You keep getting to take on energetic forms and figure it out. You know, we're coming up on Groundhog's Day. If you've ever watched that movie with Bill Murray, it's a beautiful example of what I'm talking about. You just keep going around till you figure it out. So when we allow ourselves just to be, do nothing and be, and ask the questions, this will assist in emptying the mind and oftentimes bring you into a bunch of different points of view so that you can realize what's really going on. And the mind will empty. You'll start to have some discernment and hopefully bring in some good problem-solving skills and figure out what's needed whether it's for yourself or someone else, and redirect the energy. So as we go into redirect, what I mentioned earlier was that this opportunity of clearing the mind provides us with more energy to work with. So all that time that you spend gossiping or complaining or feeling sad and melancholy, you could have been using all that energy for something else. All those things you wish you had time for. All of a sudden, when you erase from your plate, creating chaos within your dramatic life and others, all of a sudden you have time to pursue your dreams, even if you're not able to do it full time. You've really been able to really cut out a lot from your life. So a simple way to check in there, as I mentioned earlier when I said check in to how many applications you have open or apps or programs on your computer at one time, this will give you a mirror of how busy your mind is and how distracted you might get. Then you could go onto your mobile carrier and see how many minutes per month you use talking on the phone, how many texts you send per month, how many emails you send per month, how many private messages you send per month, how many social media posts do you do per month, per day, per week. Start adding up all those minutes, and I guarantee you're going to have a big chunk of time, if you're really involved in all those networks, to give back to yourself, to quiet the mind, and really decide where you want to direct your energy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to participate in all those things, but you might start to be more mindful, and this will assist with quieting that chatter. I know I've mentioned getting rid of a smartphone, had it for many years. As soon as I eliminated that from my life, there was a huge energetic pause for me. There was so much less infeed into my daily life. I wasn't holding this device that was feeding into my heart chakra, my heart meridian, and constantly bombarding me with information and creating an addictive response because I didn't want to put it down. People don't realize it because they're so used to having it. They have to have it in their back pocket. They have to keep it in their bra or their shorts, and they can't be without it. Try putting it away. This will help quiet the mind. If you're energetically having something fed into your body all day long, it's creating a conversation with you, and it doesn't allow you to have a break. People will sleep with their iPads, their laptops, their phones, because they're afraid they're going to miss something. Turn the phone off. Turn the Wi-Fi off. Don't turn it on until you've gotten up and had a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, or whatever it is, taking a walk. Then enter the world of internet when you absolutely have to. Give yourself the breaks. And the more I've been thinking about this, you know, we're so conditioned to responding quickly, or people will save it for the evening. And being that so many people have these phones, you're cluttering, you're invading their space at odd hours of the night, depending on how and when you're communicating to them. So be mindful with it and realize that you're helping out if you decide where you mindfully want to direct your energy. So one step at a time, you can pick one thing that you would like to address. What we're going to do right now is we're going to listen to one more mantra piece. This is actually how I love to start my day, is with the mantra Tara, and this is the White Tara mantra. It's a longer segment. It'll take us almost to the end of the segment, yet it's a beautiful one to listen to. You're invoking, similar to Om Mani Padme Hum, you'll notice with a lot of the Buddhist mantras, they're all leading you to the same direction. In Vedic and Sanskrit, you'll have a lot more opportunities to invoke many different things. It doesn't mean that they don't exist in Buddhism. And maybe I'm just more partial just to love and compassion. There are protection mantras and all these other things. However, in Hindu, Vedic tradition, there are different mantras to invoke different things. And there's actually parables that go with it, similar to Buddhism and similar to any other belief system that's out there. These are just a tool that I use, and I'm sharing it with you. So right now, as you listen to this next bit of mantra, allow yourself just to connect to it and flow with it. See if you can flow into it and see where it takes you. You can move around, allow it to run in the background. And then when we come back, we'll just wrap it all up full circle and move from there. Take a nice deep breath in and out and allow this mantra just to wash over you.
So, oh, Tare.
Within this segment, you've had the opportunity to be with mantra as an overarching theme and meditation and silence as a way to get there. As I mentioned, you can use the yin approach of just being silent, being still to help with the mind, or you can turn on that mantra to redirect the energy. You can also turn on music. There's a different cadence, especially if you're listening to pop culture. That's not going to do the same thing. Plus, there's an infeed of whatever that song is communicating. So you can do a little exploration. And again, if you have a wide variety of theological belief systems, you can move from there and see what you would like to embrace as that mantra practice. You can meet it where you are today, here on planet Earth. When we quiet the mind, we're much more equipped to handle our day. We will be nourishing not only our mental body, our emotional body, our spiritual body, and the entire world around us. So play around with these practices. Say, what do I have to lose? I'm going to be less stressed. I'm going to be less anxious. I'm actually going to engage critical thinking. I'm going to be more discerning. I will actually react better in situations and take a pause before I engage. And I'll have more time and energy to redirect towards the things I want to cultivate. So jump in where you're inspired, play around with it, and the biggest service you will do for yourself, in my humble opinion, is to start to cultivate this clear mind, start to cultivate the clear heart, and see where it takes you. Please send me your feedback. You can email me at suzannetoro@gmail.com. And until next time, this is she signing out with a full heart, a soft gaze, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply.